The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down for another great episode covering some big tournaments and big winners from across the country. What's going on, Drew? How you doing?
Good, buddy. I like your optimism there. Another great episode, he says, folks. You heard it right here at the beginning of the show. It's going to be great. If not, I guess we can give
just
you your
blame
money
me for it.
Yeah. Yeah, get your money back.
But we'll give you the money that we don't get paid to do this. We'll send you a check.
There you go.
Exactly. Everybody be sure to stick around. We got a big winner from the Bassmaster event in La Crosse this previous weekend. I do have one little tidbit of information I got that could affect a lot of clubs and the way tournaments are ran. I'm going to bring up. Wanted to bring it up last week. Wasn't really sure yet on if what I had been hearing was correct, but I think I've got it worked out. But just something you may want to hear. But what's been up with you, Drew, man? You got anything this weekend? Or
dude, I followed along with this tournament. I was watching some football, just still more getting the home site ready for this baby we got due in December. So much of the same. It's pretty boring. Just cheered on my fantasy team and the Bulldogs and all the other teams I like. So yeah, not too much, man.
I hear you. I'm still getting back to the normal work grind, and it's still tough to get all that energy built back up, but I still haven't been on the water. I don't think I've been on the water in almost 3 months. I kind of care, but hunting season's coming up, so I've kind of put all my shift that way. I've been doing scouting for that, so.
Yeah.
But I went and hung out at one of the kayak shops around here today, and that kind of like fired me up again, so we'll see.
Nice, man. Nice. Now, when's this tidbit? You're saying that's later in the show, or that's now?
Yeah, we'll do it while we have our guest on, just because get his input on it too. It's
nice.
It's nothing major for now. It's something that will take effect next year nationally. On basic, we'll get into it. It's not just fishing related, but it will affect fishing tournaments. But yeah, I guess we'll just go ahead and bring it in. So, like I said, we are covering the Bassmaster event that was on La Crosse, and we've got with us one of the Tennessee Hammers, the inaugural Bassmaster Classic on Logan Martin winner, Jim Davis. What's going on, Jim?
That's right.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Pretty good, man. Congrats on the win.
Thank you.
You're still making a name for yourself, and I know all those Tennessee guys know you're a hammer, too. I hear your name from a bunch of my Tennessee buddies all the time. But what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Just kind of relaxing, taking a little break from driving back home and just hanging out.
Heck yeah. You about to say something, Drew? I thought I heard you pipe in.
No, well, just going to say, congrats, Jim. Like Jimmy said, you were the inaugural winner. I think most people still remember that. It wasn't that long ago, right before COVID hit. And you outbeat a field there, outlasted a field of, I want to say it was like 250 people. At Logan
Yeah, Martin. It was a lot.
It was a big group. And it
yeah,
was
220.
Nice. Yeah, 220, something like that. So you would probably
220,
know.
Terrible weather.
It was
Ridiculous. That was a fun one, though.
It was fun. Yeah. I think I got 16th in that one, I think. I want to say. I remember it qualified me for the Classic, so that's all that I was really concerned about, you know, was qualifying.
I got my tail tucked between my legs and took my wet, cold self back to the truck.
Yeah, that was one of those right place, right time type of deals there. Because, yeah, the weather was horrible.
Yeah, it was so bad. Yeah, well, for anybody that doesn't know who you are, Jim, just give us a rundown of who you are, where you're from, what got you into kayak fishing, just whatever you want to.
Yeah, I live in East Tennessee in Dandridge, just east of Knoxville a little bit. Fish with all the boys over there in East Tennessee, and been tournament fishing for about 6 years now, and kayak fishing for about 15-16 years. But the last couple of years have been really my years that I started actually fishing. Traveling, doing the tournaments, and of course I missed most of this year with an injury, but yeah, trying to get back into it again.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Weren't you at Eufaula? Was that you? I remember. Yeah, you were at Eufaula and you had your arm was bandaged up in a sling, right?
Yeah, I had my arm taped to my side so I couldn't move it.
Wow.
Commitment. But you still fished that of it. You still fished it with like one hand, didn't you? One arm.
Yeah, left-handed. Yep.
Did you do pretty good, or am I not thinking correctly here?
No, I outlasted about half the guys, but yeah, I had to fish left-handed. Caught some fish, and you know it was.
I was looking at that earlier. I think you were 46th, but again, you were severely handicapped by anything in my book. Being absolutely completely one-handed
in the wrong, yeah, because you're not, you know, you're not left-handed, right? You're right-handed,
right? Right. Yeah, I had injured myself the week before, and talked to Bass about it, and they said, no, if you want to qualify, you got to compete. So that's what I did. I went down and
gotcha.
Figured if I could make a cast, that I'd be good. So
yeah,
that's insane. Yeah.
That is. I'm counting that as a top 10. In my book, that's like, it's a top 10.
Yeah. I definitely.
The next weekend.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about your tournament background history. Cause I was looking on the Tourney X to see if it showed any of your, like what events you've been in and, you know, how you've done, and that information wasn't on there. So we know you have the inaugural Bass win. You just got the recent win at La Crosse. What else you got in your book? Do you have a favorite series you like to follow, or do you just fish as many as you can?
Well, I started out, you know, a few years back in the KBS when that was a, mm-hmm. when that was, yep, a thing. There were quite a few of us that fished that series. And did pretty well then, and then got into the KBF and fished that for a bit. And I think my best championship finish was 13th for the KBF, which out of a field of 450, I guess that's not terrible.
No,
not at all, man.
And then
definitely something to brag about in my book.
And then started last year doing some of the Hobie events and did the Bass. And I think probably next year I'll concentrate again on Hobie and Bass events.
Yeah. Were you at the inaugural KBS down in Astor, Florida? Were you at that one?
That's the only one I missed. I didn't go to the very first one. And one of my friends up there in Knoxville, he's the one that actually got me into it and told me about it. So I went to the next one, which was at Rayburn, to the second event.
That's the only one. See, that's the only one I went to was the very first one, down in Astor. So I think I got third in that one. If I remember correctly, I got third, but anyway, that's the only one I fished, but yeah, that was cool. Cool series while it lasted. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Just before we moved on from that real quick, Drew, take us non-OG folks back, and this is legitimately the first time I've heard of KBS. So what is that? What was that? Precursor to KBF? Yeah. Or?
I think KBF may have, I don't, they had challenges for sure. They had online tournaments for sure. I don't know if they had it in person, but River Bass, and I was running the River Bass and tournament trail I know that for a fact. During KBS came about, and it was the kayak bass series run by basically Robert Field, who obviously we know him as a YouTuber. He was the MC, and
Terry Manley.
Terry Manley, which it was running Manley Rods at that time, which I guess it all sort of fell apart. The Manley Rods, I don't see them around anymore, so I don't think they exist. And it all kind of just fell apart. But it was kind of like the KBF Trail Series. It was a national tournament trail. They probably had how many, Jim? It was like eight stops or something that went around.
Yeah, probably that. And then a championship at the end of the year. Yeah.
And they probably went for what, a couple years? It only lasted like 2-3 years maybe?
Yeah, I fished it 15 and 16 and actually won the championship in 16. And then it just kind of disappeared in 17.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't get into this until 18, so could be why I've never heard of it. Well, that's cool.
Just goes to show, piece of history. It's not easy. Yeah, it's not easy for tournament trails. I mean, we were doing okay with river bassing, but it's not really, if you're looking to make money, it's a very, very, it's like Chad at least has done it right. It's like KBF, you got to be in it for the long game. It's a long game for sure. Same with, I mean, look at bass and MLF and all, you know, FLW. It's like they had to be in it for the long haul to like really make a brand valuable enough to where you would buy something like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they have, it's gotten there. So anyway, but the question I was going to ask you, you said you fished some Hobie this year. Did you qualify for the TOC? I can't remember.
No.
Did you make that?
No, I did. No, the Hobies that I fished right after I had surgery. So it was, I didn't get to compete the whole day cause I just couldn't make it the whole day and hadn't been able to paddle at all. So that kind of limited what I could do, but I still wanted to compete. So
no, that's cool, man.
Went to a couple of those.
Well, obviously you qualified for the Bass, Nation Kayak Series Championship in 2022, and you were in the previous one as well. So, and I actually qualified for that at Eufaula. So I'll be seeing you there, man. I'm excited about it. And, I have no idea what lake they're going to put us on, but I'm excited to get the news and start seeing some schedules and all that fun stuff coming out here soon.
I feel that. I'm definitely ready to start seeing the schedules pop up to go ahead and start. I think that's what like fire me back up for it is seeing like I love the planning part, even though the last 2 years, all of my plans have fell apart both years, but the like thinking it all out and figuring out what you're going to do. Right. That's fun.
It is.
I think the Bass schedules are set for the next 2 years already. They just haven't been aired yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's they told us that on Texas that they were waiting on like one more piece of paperwork to be signed, and they would have I think 2 full years of schedules ready to go. So that'll be cool if they get those out, kind of early to let everybody plan for. And hopefully more, the series and clubs and stuff kind of follow suit and get their schedules out before like March.
Yeah, it's hard to coordinate. It's hard to coordinate two or three trails and, try and hit all of the events in both trails.
Yeah.
For sure. And I heard a rumor, I don't know if you have heard the same thing, that the Bass Nation Kayak Series Championship for 2022 in conjunction with the Classic, which is on Hartwell, is going to be just at the next lake below Hartwell. And that one is, I believe that one's Russell. Is that right? Or is that, I think it's Russell.
I hadn't heard that. I don't know.
I heard that as the rumor is where it's going to be because it was also in the same county that Anderson, the host city, is in. So I don't know if that's true.
Makes sense.
It would make some sense if they're going to get some support from Anderson. But I thought maybe they would – Anderson's tapped out for the Classic, support, and maybe they would go utilize one of their other partners, whether it's a Lake Lanier – they've used before, or Lake Murray, or find someone new like Lake Greenwood or Augusta, Georgia down there, maybe with like Clark's Hill. But I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. I
don't know when.
Go ahead, Jim.
I don't know when we'll find that out. That, you didn't find out till the last second this year. So who knows?
Bass, I know you're listening. We want these schedules and these locations like before Christmas. I'd take it like before Thanksgiving next week.
Well, we really just want the exclusive here on the Reel Down podcast. That's what we want. You want you to come on and announce it right here, and then put your press release out later that day. But give us the.
I'll take that. I'll take. I know some people. I'll see if we can pull some strings, and it won't ever happen. But I'll try.
Yeah, but I promise you this, everybody listening, it will be out much sooner than it was in previous years due to what COVID kind of caused in their world, because they have so many other tournaments to deal with than just the kayak series. And we're the last one on the totem pole, whereas Hobie and KBF, that's all they do. So it was a little easier for them to get things out sooner. So
knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Anyway, yeah. I digress. Let's talk about Jim and his big win. And, man, where do you want to start, Jimmy?
Well, tell me your history with fishing up there, if you ever have, and then you can kind of just work that into your pre-fishing, if you did any. I know you were traveling, and I know lacrosse has been hit a few times this year, I'm pretty sure. I know Hobie was there. There's always a bunch of local clubs up there, some of the bigger ones. But what's your experience up there?
I try to go up there at least twice every year, and I love that area. It's probably one of my favorite fisheries up there. And I was up there for the whole week last week, but the weather changed so much just about every day that pre-fishing was one day at a time. You know, you find fish one day, the next day they weren't there, and it went like that the whole week. So yeah,
and it definitely looked like
just basically a Saturday. It definitely looked like toss, you know, where you go,
right. Mm-hmm. It definitely looked like that the fishing was still, you know, doing pretty good, because there were over 550 fish caught just during the tournament.
Fishing was crazy. I think
I feel sorry for the people judging.
I probably caught 70 fish that on Saturday. Jeez. It was nuts, but you know, tons of 13, 14, 15 inch right. fish.
Hmm. Old bait stealers.
Yeah, were you there for Hobie as well?
I did. I went up for Hobie last month, and fished a little bit for that one. Yeah, it was the weather. Yeah. That one was pretty bad too.
It was. I was up there for that one. I snuck in at the very very last check spot at 11th place, but the we weren't catching that many fish. The numbers of fish, it wasn't happening for people that I talked to, and most people, it seemed like on stage, even weren't. But obviously our winner for that one, Matthew Brandon, he was on, like what you were saying, like just 50-60 fish a day sort of pattern. So I guess when you find them there, you find them. So it sounds like
I like to fish the grass, and of course last month I couldn't paddle my kayak, so I had to stay out of the grass. So that had a little bit of an effect. And plus all that rain that came through, the water just turned to mud. And,
oh, yeah. And
the river rose a foot and a half, and it was pretty wild for tournament day.
That was very
Which that's tough. A exact opposite. I don't know if you've – did you fish the Bassmaster up there last year?
Yes.
Because I remember last year the water was ridiculously low when I was up there. All it the local it guys. Really?
Yeah, the last 10 years, it's been averaging probably a foot and a half to 2 foot higher than what it is right now during the summer.
Wow.
Wow.
That's insane.
So has it come down?
Yeah, makes it fun. Yes.
Okay. It's lower again.
Yeah, so it came down. Well, I say it came down, and then it went back up again either Thursday or Friday. It went up a little bit. But, yeah, it was pretty close to the same as what the week – before the Hobie was, of course, the day of the Hobie, you know, after the rains, it was pretty high, but
yeah. Right.
Okay.
Well, give me like you said, you try to hit it a couple times a year. So, kind of tell me how you approached your pre-fishing, how you figured out where you wanted to fish and how you like broke everything down, especially with, you know, weather changing every day. I mean, I don't know if you can even really do it, because one thing that's working one day is completely different the next.
Oh, that's exactly right. And you know, I wanted to try to fish pool 9 down to the south and go for smallmouth this time. And we had pretty good current for a couple of the days, and then the current shut off. So the fish that you could find weren't there, and we could find the 13 and 14 inchers again. They came out every day, but the big ones just kind of eluded us all week. So like I said, on Saturday, it was, you know, toss a coin to whether we turn left or right and determine where we were going. And I just like to fish the grass. I like shallow water. I like the grass. I like the pads. So we went up to pool 7 and fished grass and pads. And yeah.
So it was largemouth. Awesome. It was largemouth deal for you, it sounds like.
Yep. Strictly largemouth. Yeah.
And that, I'm trying to remember, Pool 7, that's up there above Onalaska and everything, right?
Yeah, Onalaska is in Pool 7.
Yeah. Okay, I couldn't remember if that was the top of Pool 8 or the bottom of 7 right there. But that, I didn't get to fish that when I was up there. I really wanted to because it looked like a really cool area, but I only had a couple of days, so I just kind of like went to the middle and prayed, which didn't work.
Well, I like,
and that was also the first time I'd ever been up there.
Yeah. Yeah, the Stoddard area, Stoddard area is really good too.
Yeah,
for sure. It's a fun place. Well, it sounds like your tournament story. It's just a 1-day event. So instead of, you know, you walking through it all and telling us how many times you culled a 13 and a quarter to a 13 and a half to a 13 and three quarters, you've already pretty much told us you caught a ton of fish. So Jimmy, you and I could just pick his brain about some stuff here. Like, hey, Jim, what were you catching them on? Did you find anything different in the grass that, or were you just randomly throwing, or was there something different you found, whether it be a little cut, a point, a depth change, a hard spot, something different that caused you to find, you know, more fish and get more bites and upgrade to that win?
Well, the water in that area is probably about 5 foot deep max. So when I started, I fished the outside edge of the weed lines and threw a spinner bait, swim bait on the outside edges, and then went around and started fishing wood with a Senko. And that's where I got my first decent fish. Yeah. And then the big fish went away again, and it was 13 and 14 inches for the next 2 or 3 hours. And then you see bait fish out in the middle. So you start throwing spinner baits out in the middle and catch small ones again. I caught a 15 and a half and a 16 and a half just randomly out in the middle, just throwing out where I saw the bait fish jumping around at. Caught two basically random fish out there. And then all that died again. So it was a kind of an off and on day. And I had a limit when the clock went off or when the board went off. I think I was sitting in 19th place with a small limit. And there was a little pad field that I hadn't seen anybody else in all day. There was probably 9-10 kayaks in the area. And so for the last hour when the board went down, I went over, put my Texas Rig Senko weightless back on in about a foot of water and paddled through the pads. And I think with 15 minutes to go, I put an 18 and three quarter in the boat and culled up
big cold,
probably 7 inches, you know, in the last hour.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it sounds like there was a lot of just, I don't want to say random because that's obviously not the word. I mean, things are calculated, but with everything coming on and off, you know, it seemed like the Senko was working for you somewhat consistently, but there was just a lot of trying different things, edges in the grass, you know, on the bait, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, we knew the fish were there. We just couldn't figure out where they were. And, you know, they were moving in and out from the bank out to the middle and chasing bait and then moving back in. And it was hard to keep up with them and keep finding them. And I said, finally, I just went back to what I like to do and started throwing that weightless Senko up in the pads. Two decent ones in the last hour into hitting.
Were you, you know, throwing them up in the pads like that? Was it a like let it soak kind of approach, or were you getting really good reaction strikes and stuff like that out of the, you know, popping them over the pads or getting under one.
I was fishing in about eight to 10 inches of water, and I was just ripping that sinkle across the pads.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's real cool. That's a great bait to actually do that with. You know, it really is. I like to even throw like a Z-Man Streaks as a, you know, soft plastic jerk bait. Man, sometimes that comes through better than anything else. Like a Cinco or something like that comes through that stuff just better than anything else. So I like that style there, man, that strategy, Jim. Obviously, it worked out. Now, real quick, I just looked back at the Hobie numbers, and what's funny is on day one, 85.5 was the leading total, and on day two, it was 85.75. So it seems like that is the number to hit because, Jimmy, you probably have the numbers there, but yeah. If you want to go over them. But it was 85. Didn't you have 85 something, or is that right?
Yeah, he had 85.5.
Yeah. Dude, you're on the money. I mean,
it didn't drop too far. It was 84.5 for second and 83.75 for third. But, you know, the mid to low 80s held out a pretty long way.
Oh, man, dude. Yeah. I had 90.
Yeah, that was my.
Yeah. I'm frustrated.
That was my teammate that had second.
Yeah, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Anthony, but he fished down in pool nine. He totally different type of fishing he was doing down there.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He did real well at Kentucky Lake. I saw him there, and he did well. I think that Hobie.
He did well at the Hobie
lacrosse too. Yeah, he was there. Yeah. A lot of the results shows, but anyway, I was over here moaning and groaning because I see 85, and I literally had 90 inches of fish on the first day second day of Hobie, and dude, that they just three fish came off, and they were giants, and I'm just anyway, I'm trying to just get those memories out of my brain. But I see 85, and I'm thinking
we all did on Saturday. Oh. We all had 90 some inches Saturday.
Yeah, it just happens, dude. If we, I just feel like someone should have 90 inches there or 92 and just like win it. Like, just really go and like outright just crush it because they're there. They're freaking there, man.
But that would be a fun thing for somebody to look up and send us. I'd like to know in like Tourney X history, what's the biggest limit in lacrosse on 7, 8, and 9 that's been posted on Tourney X? Because I guarantee you somebody's busted 90 because there's there's definitely big fish up there.
Yeah, there's big fish there.
There are.
It's hard to get. It's hard to put five of them together like that, but there are big fish there.
Especially like, not just this tournament. We're again back. Random's the wrong word. Just kind of all over the place catching them. But lacrosse, even when we, you know, you cover the local or we, you know, go over the local clubs and stuff when they have a lot of guys hit it. There's usually just a lot of fish caught up there. I mean, every now and then, you know, it's kind of like a feast or famine situation, but most of the time you hear about guys having 20, 30 fish days and, you know, mid 80s. Like, I always expect to see a mid to high 80s number on the list, but I don't know if it's like, I'd like to know if it's not that you can't find, you know, the five biggest fish and put together that big limit, or if it's just because you're having to weed through so many of the smaller year cycle of fish, you know. And then that leads me into the stuff I nerd out on. Like, I'd like to know if it's a conservation thing, like they're needing to pull a bunch of smaller fish out so that the age classes go up and stuff like that. That's the kind of crap I listen to in my off time, but it definitely just seems like a fishery that's just absolutely full of good fish.
I think it's just so much fun catching the 14 and 15 inch fish that I just forget I need to be looking for bigger ones.
Yep. And I've got numbers for you, dude. I looked them up, Jimmy.
Oh, here we go.
So for 2020, there was an event, the Hobie BOS event there in 2020 was won by Russ Snyders. On day one, he had 87.75. Nick Matthews had 87 and Adam Reiser had 86.75. So three people topped your total on that particular event, which it's not very many, but it stays in that mid know, 80s range, all the way down to sixth place at 85 inches. So, and up. So day two though, listen to this. We did have a 90 inch bag. Stefan from Iowa, Alex Stefan, had 90.75, and then second place was Russ with 86.75 and then, 84.75. So once you get a third, it's below 85 again. The 85 number seems to be where you want to be.
Spot.
So, it did happen, but I'm looking up some other.
I think
ones
Barry
there,
Davis, I think Barry Davis had 88 and a half at the Bass event there last year.
Yeah, that's what I was. Okay. His name was popping up in my head because I thought he did pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
Okay,
that's awesome to know. I want to look more into it. I want to see. I'm going to ask. I got a bunch of folk friends that live up there too, and I'm going to see if any of them local clubs have ever had any like 95 inch bags come through. That would be.
It's got. I'm
that'd
sure
be awesome.
Let's see. There's a Minyak 2021 lacrosse in Minnesota Yak, I guess. Local club, and they had some pretty good numbers, 88 and a quarter one, 87 and three quarters, 87, and then drops to 83, but a few people got over that. And then the paddle and fin, of course, the championship, what were those numbers? I see something here, paddle and fin number five, but it shows.
Oh, I cannot remember.
I don't think this is this. No, that one's not coming up. Anyway, that's all the ones that were in the history.
Yeah, the paddle and fin championship was on lacrosse, and I could be wrong. I think 86 and three quarter won that one. Yeah. We just covered that, and I'm trying to remember, but yeah, no, it's definitely like that's a. I'd love to see like, and we won't get into it because it's a giant rabbit hole, you know. The Bass event have gone 2 days with how the weather was changing on you. I'd like to see what a day two would have done, you know, if. Obviously, I'm sure a mid 80 number would have happened based off history. But, you know, I think there would have been a lot of contenders considering, you know, golly, you get all the way down to 30th place still at 75. So you can have one by that place standards good day, one decent day and still been in the in the setting. Saying that, Jim, and because you've done so good, you know, your history doing the Bassmasters is, I'd say, pretty good. What's your thoughts on the format? Do you like how everything's being done? Or
hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Anything you hope to see in the future from it?
I like the one-day tournaments, and I like the two-day Hobie tournaments. I think there's a place for both of them. I know there's guys that can't get away for the two-day tournaments, can't spend the time to do it. And I know there's guys that don't like to fish the one-day tournaments and wish they were too, but I think there's a place for both of them.
Definitely. Which I think that's one of the things that the KBF's take on it's pretty cool, how it's 2 1-day. I think you could have both at the same time. You could have like pay a different fee and have two solos and then a combined total for somebody that did want to do the 2-day or something like that, you know. But that's a good argument. To me, with what you said, like there's a place for both. And as much as like when I'm thinking about it, I think it'd be really cool to see Bassmaster go 2-day. It also, I think Bassmaster could be the series for the guys, like you said, that can only do the 1-day. And then Hobie's the series for the guys that, you know, like that 2-day, maybe 3-day in the future, if it ever got like that, you know, those multiple days of stringing together, you know, managing your fish and stuff like that. Because I know that's a lot of the guys down here won't fish Hobie just because they can't, you know, they don't have the time or they work on Sundays, don't have the off time, you know.
It's 4 days to go fish a Hobie if you don't pre-fish.
Mm-hmm. It is for sure. I mean, I think that, like you're saying, there's room for both, but my whole thing on this whole debate is there is room for both, and the local trails and the regional trails, they're all 1 day. So that kind of gives so many options for people to fish 1-day tournaments. But Bass, in my opinion, is the elitist level of, you know, bass boat fishing, the four day elite series, 3-day opens. And you would think that with that brand, right, the BASS brand, it's the highest level of competitive kayak fishing. Therefore, just like the PGA Tour, any event that's the highest level in golf, it's not a 1-day golf tournament, it's 4-day because you're at the highest level.
Right.
I feel like it should be more than 1 day. It should be 2 or 3 days, but that's me, and that's my opinion. But because there's plenty.
No, it makes plenty of sense.
Bass hadn't always been like that. When Bass started out, it was 1-day tournaments.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And the bass kayaks, you know, we're just getting started. This is just second year, so there's still a lot of growing to do. And I hope they add some events. I think five events is kind of a short season for bass. And I think they should add some events. I think there should be a path to an AOY for bass. There isn't one right now. That would give people another way, another path to qualify for the championship.
And a reason to fish, keep fishing tournaments all year long.
An incentive to make sure your numbers stay up during the year, you know?
Yeah, you would have had, you know, 75, 100 at Chesapeake Bay instead of whatever, 40-something probably, because they'd have been competing for something. So I think you'll see 2-day tournaments next year. You'll see 2 days, and you'll see AOY. I'm almost positive we'll see that from Bass. I don't know if every one of the events will be 2-day, but I'm hearing – we're going to probably have some 2-day tournaments.
There'll be some special 2-day tournaments.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that. I think it'll still stay 1 day for the trail events, but I think there'll be special events that'll be 2-day. I think we'll have an AOY, and I'm not sure if they'll add trail series events, you know, more than five, but like you said, I think they'll add some special events. So there'll be more than five tournaments during the year, just not all trail events.
Right.
Yeah.
I personally try to, like, I know that they get bashed on a lot because how certain things have been done and why don't they do this. And I try to keep in mind that, you know, they came in hard on Logan Martin, you know, I mean, yeah, it was a 1-day event, but promoted well, you know, stuff, how the ceremony went and stuff like that. I know a lot of folks weren't happy with that, but you know, they didn't even really get to stretch their legs because, I mean, that was right when the pandemic was about to, like, mess everything up as far as how you could do things. They still made it through that year. And then this year, I mean, people come to me all the time, and when we talk about it, they're like, well, why didn't they, you know, why hasn't anything changed? Well, I mean, everything was still kind of a question mark. Like, can we have these weigh-ins and captain's meetings? You know, if there's protocol, should we hold these guys for 2 days, you know, blah, blah, blah. And again, bass is so big and everything goes up all the steps up the ladder. We're still really nothing to them. You know, we're still trying to prove ourselves. I think at like the 5-year mark, maybe, I mean, maybe hopefully it happens faster, but I think it'll find its groove and it'll be one of those, you know, top tier things.
Yeah. I hope they have a faster learning curve than that, but you know, they're big enough and they've done it long enough that it shouldn't take them that long to figure out what they need to do.
Right.
Yeah, I assure you, they do care a lot about kayak. I know that. I've talked to the, you know, John Stewart and Dwayne personally, had calls with them, and they actually care a lot about kayak. I know from some of the things we've talked about, some people are kind of inferring like whatever, maybe they don't, but they actually really, really do, which is why you said, Jim, and I know this is a fact too, they already have their schedules done for this year and next year. And a lot of that is, like you said, Jimmy, COVID and all that, but they care a lot. They actually lose money. I know that we're used to local and regional and other payouts from other places, but they're a bigger, you know, organization with a lot of overhead and whatever, but they care a lot about the kayak. They really do. So that's why they're in it. So they're going to, I think it'll be quicker than five. I think next year, it will be a few 2-day special events, but I think the following year, I think it'll all be 2 days. I think it's important to do that because you do get the anglers that can commit 2 days are the anglers who are really hardcore into this. And then if you go to 3 days for like Bassmaster Opens, even more so. And those are the anglers you want attending events if you're a Bassmaster brand, someone big like that, because those, you want the best anglers there. So the fish is the star of the show. So the fish that catches, the greater fish catches, bigger fish catches, again, that just makes you look good, makes them look good. You can promote that. Plus, you get the same characters coming back over and over and over. Nobody can remember the thousands of people, right? But you can remember the same, like the Elite Series. You can kind of start to get familiar with some of the names there because there's only 80 or 90, whatever it is, 90-something. You don't want, if you're an organization like that, you don't want thousands of names. You want stars like the NFL and Major League Baseball. I talk about this all the time. You want the stars.
Marketability.
Marketability, yes. And by narrowing it down, making it 2-day, and if you increase the entry fee to $1,000 or something big like that, it gets even sweeter, and you'll get what you're looking for with the personalities and the same people that are there that you can market and grow it that way. But anyway,
I think that will blow some minds the first time there's a, you know, $750,000 entry fee. I mean, it blows my mind thinking about it. Not like I would never pay that to go fishing, but like, damn, it's gotten to that point, you know, like,
yeah, we're gonna have to get sponsors involved a little more when it gets to that
that's
point.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I was going to say, Jim. I was going to bring up one of your sponsors. Cause I know you're being, you know, the great champion you are and being humble, but you got your Old Town hat on there and you did, you know, you're fishing out of Old Town. You're going to have to turn to your Old Towns and any of your other sponsors and say,
I need help.
You know, I need a little help. I need help. But I'm getting more exposure because it's, you know, it's bass. It's a much higher purse, higher level. Like I think we would be interviewed on all the bigger, not just the kayak fishing media, but the bigger bass media. We would get more attention, and more attention on you when you win, Jim, is more money that essentially more marketing exposure for the brands that you represent. So therefore they should be able right. to take in a little bit more. So it all kind of like, if they go up, we're going to get the entry fees covered. We, the anglers, we'll get them covered.
You get to approach them with that trophy and be like, you see this?
Yeah.
I ain't doing this for free anymore. Okay.
Well, if one of those things happen, then you know that the rest of them are going to follow.
Oh, exactly. 100%. It'll be a big domino effect, just like anything else. Like you see small, like domino effect, even now, like with what I see, like doing the podcast and seeing stuff kind of behind the scenes with it, like brands that have nothing to do with fishing, you know, one of them yeah. jumped in like, wow, this is kind of cool. Kayak fishing is different, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, oh, did you see that brand jumped in? Well, we yep. should get in on that. There's plenty of room for it at the moment. You know, there's not any competition. We're not having to throw in $10 million, you know, beat Walmart out or nothing like that.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's cool to think about that. I mean, maybe it gets to that level one day. And there's definitely, like, there was talk about it this weekend. It's starting to get more exposure. When Hobie was here at Pickwick last week, the event that Guillermo did won.
Yeah.
AL.com, you know, Alabama.com did a write-up on the event. They did really, really good until the end. And it's just the lack of kayak fishing as a whole knowledge not being out there yet, because it was really good write-up talking about how he did and how he broke everything down, words he said, and then starts talking about how kayaks are limited and we can't fish the big parts of the lake, so we have to stay shallow.
Yeah, I read that. And I was like, too, well,
that's just so wrong. And that's the only thing that fired me up about it. But I turned it into, okay, there's still more to be done from the anglers, tournament directors, our brands, to get that information to them where it's not wrong, you know? But it's getting there.
That's probably their first article on kayak fishing. You know, they hadn't been exposed
to it. I honestly don't think I've seen one. I lie. I think AL.com did not on the win at Logan Martin, but I think there was one about the event happening, about like bass coming and hosting an event for kayaks. I think I remember that.
Yeah.
But
I would have thought for the national championship, they would have done something on Gunnersville back with KBF. I guess not.
Yeah, you would think. I don't know. Maybe Gunnersville Chamber of Commerce just kind of hiding that to themselves.
Maybe.
Who knows? Because, I mean, I wasn't in that event, but I was down there camping and stuff and hanging out, and there were kayaks everywhere. Like, in the middle of, like, Hank Cherry's big spot, you know, anywhere a classic had been won, there'd be seven kayak guys out. And we were everywhere. No talk about it anywhere in the state other than the guys at the boat ramps. Like, damn, why are y'all out here?
Well, man, Jim, I was going to segue. You go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, even in Texas at the Classic out there on Possum Kingdom, there wasn't a lot of coverage out there. There was a definite lack of camera boats out on the water and people covering it. And I thought that there should have been a lot more coverage on that one.
I definitely agree. Like, I wouldn't say yet, like, you know, we're still working into their formula. You know, maybe we don't need or deserve constant coverage at all of them, because you obviously, you know, it's a single day event, so you don't know how it's going to go. You don't know if you're going to be following a guy around that's not going to catch anything. But for the NC, for the big championship, come on now. Give me one camera boat. Go follow go follow the possum around. Go follow Joe Mack out there with a broken drive. Like, yeah. I feel like they could have gave me a little, you know, gave us a little something. But
yeah, hey, knows, maybe in the future. If the entry fees jumped up to $1,000 and you got just a reasonable 150 people in a tournament, that's
you can't tell me you can't fill up a boat with gas with that money.
Yeah. And you would think that if they're doing, if they're giving away, you know, $150,000 would be the purse. Obviously, there's fees and whatever. Like, obviously, other stuff comes out. You're not going to pay out 100%. Some of these entities won't, but they could get, you know, fairly close to it. But that's enough money, $150,000, to maybe give the winner, you know, $50,000 or whatever. And that number there is where I think the attention starts to, the media and the coverage starts to sort of like starts to flock when like the NPFL gives out, you know, $50,000 for their wins, I believe, right? $50,000. And maybe I'm off. Maybe you can only give away $30,000 of that or whatever. But a big, big number like that at each tournament, I think, will change the media coverage and a little bit. But when the local, I don't know, when it's like, oh, we're going to, somebody's going to win $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000, it's not, it's one of the reasons why we cover the Elite Series and these other big tournaments. Like every event, it's like, this guy's going to, someone's going to walk away with $100,000 or $50,000, and it's life changing. And I think once we get there, that it'll follow the coverage.
I feel you on the 50. I think, like, you know, you just get that 20 consistent 20s, like 20 each event, you know. I can't, it's been so long since I've kept up with the bass boat stuff, like MLF and all that. I don't know what each event pays the winner anymore, but I mean, now they have got tons of sponsors and a proven product. But if you got two big series, Bass and Hobie, running around dropping 20 G's to a winner 8 times a year each, somebody's got to see that money. I mean, you know, what is it, $320,000 across the board to guys in little plastic boats? We earn our, I think y'all earn y'all's respect at that point.
Hey, you may not even need to raise the tournament entry fees, just get a good title sponsor that's going to kick in half of the payout.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Also true.
That'd be nice, but you'd think if that was the case, they'd probably be able to do that with the Elite Series. And Major League Fishing's even charging it the $5,000 entry fees now, I believe, when they were trying to do no entries. So I think it'll happen there before it happens.
For what them folks are paying for these Hobie kayaks, I feel like Hobie could be like, look, here's 50 G's. do one. That's maybe like four boats.
Maybe for the TOC, they'll do something like that and kick it in.
Yeah.
So,
not too much else to get into. You know, congrats on fighting through the changing conditions and apparently a lot of fish and take another win to put in your belt and let everybody else in the country know that Tennessee's got some of the best anglers in the country. But this is usually the part of the show where we like to let you thank anybody that, you know, makes fishing easier for you or helps you get to this level of success that you're achieving. So take it away.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm Team Old Town. I've been on their team for a couple of years now. And I don't know if you've been in the autopilot, but that autopilot on a windy day is fantastic.
Cool.
And I found out this weekend that it's really shallow water. It's not that hard to paddle and push pull through the shallow water. And the other company that helped me get started and helped me get doing this is Frontier Outdoors there in Kingston. He's been pretty good to us and helping us along the way. Even during the KBS days, he was helping us. So, you know, shout out to Frontier
OG for support.
Yep. And like I said, Ryan Lilly and Old Town Johnson Outdoors. Those are my sponsors right now. I don't sign on pro staff with a lot of people unless I use their stuff. And I like to use what I like to use. So it kind of eliminates a lot of that.
There you go.
That's right. Good deal.
So before we let you go, I'm going to bring up my little tidbit and get your take on it. So not to get into any political madness or anything that has nothing to do with fishing, but there are some new tax stuff that will be going into effect January-ish of 2022 that will affect the, I don't know what the word would be, but like electronic money transfers, Venmo, Cash App, PayPal. They will, anything that's rendered goods and services over a total of, I think it was $600, will be reported to the IRS and taxed. So what we're stirring with around here, even on a local club level, all on Tourney X, we clear that number by a lot already. And, you know, does it become worth having this system if I'm going to get taxed for it or have to put money out and turn our club into an LLC or 1099 the anglers, like, you know, the big tournaments already do to the money winners? There's just, and the talk that started from this wasn't even local. It was from some other clubs elsewhere in the country. What do you think about that, Drew? Do you think that you'll see like a drop off on Tourney X because of how Tourney X operates through PayPal?
So you're saying a single transaction of more than 600?
No, a total.
A total.
So if you have more than $600 in goods and services in a fiscal year,
yeah.
So basically, business charges of over $600 that you would be taxed. And I can't remember what the percentages was, but
so this isn't winnings. This isn't what you win. You're taking business charges,
right? So like for me personally, so like, I run a trail on Tourney X and it's linked to my PayPal, which is linked to my bank account, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So like this year alone, it's been over like $10,000 or something like that. They would tax me because it would be like I'm running a business.
Right.
So would you turn around and tax the anglers? Do you up your fees? Some of the clubs I know are set up as LLC, not for that reason, but for like insurance and stuff like that. I still don't have all of the information, but it's like I've already heard of clubs talking about if that happens, I can't afford to cover that. We're out. Yeah. We're going back to money cash at the ramp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
you're saying the money coming in basically is considered income to the business because it's going electronically into the PayPal or whatever Venmo that the local club is using, but it's getting turned back around and paid right back out. But
then they would tax that as winnings, which is like 30%. So.
Yeah,
I don't feel on a local club level you're ever going to get these guys to, they're not going to 1099, you know, they're just going to be like, well, I'm out. We'll go back to Tuesday night throwdowns for $20 cash. So, you know, I don't have all the detail on it enough to know this, like all of the fact, but from what was all discussed tonight, what I've just told you, I know, and I'd heard this. Even not dealing with fishing, I run my own business, and because of the state the world's in, like 90% of my customers pay with Venmo or Cash App. So fast forward to if I was doing this next year, they would tax. Now it is a business and it would all be covered, but like your paper trail, like your checks and stuff, that's what's covered. And most people treat the Venmo stuff like cash, like nobody keeps up with it. So they're like, oh, okay, cool. We'll just pay me with that. And you think you're doing okay. Well, that would turn around into a giant tax hit that you weren't expecting. So I don't know. It kind of worries me. I don't know. Cause Tourney X has been such a great thing for like Alabama was really late to getting on the whole Tourney X thing, but I don't see if that happens. I don't see local anglers jumping on that bandwagon to, you know, go fish on a Saturday for $700-800 a few times a year and then getting taxed for it. Cause I mean, is it worth it at that point? But what would you think on that?
Jim, go ahead. What do you think?
Well, I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently about it, but it seems to me that
clearly neither do I.
if anything like that was happened, there's got to be a way to do write-offs on that. If you got money, if it's coming in and going right back out, and right now you're supposed to be taxed on a certain amount anyways. So I mean, if that certain amount stayed the same, then I'm not sure what it would affect. I mean, especially if a business could like Thursday, yeah. And you got all this money coming in, and then you got it all going right back out again.
Right.
Yeah. There's two issues. One is, like you're saying, the individual winning it, if you win over a certain amount, you've got to report it. And if it's over a certain amount and by a single entity trail, they 1099 you. You know what I mean? Like, so,
right.
Yes.
But then what Jimmy's saying is the new thing. It sounds like it's from the tournament directors in, which if you're a local club, you're just a guy volunteering to, here, exactly, put all the money in my Venmo account, and I'll use my Venmo account or PayPal. And now you're saying that individual, or if he set up as an LLC, is the one who's getting the hit. And now that the 100% payout can't happen, or unless you, I mean, you just got to pay.
Yeah,
the anglers have to pay extra to make it happen.
Like you would either have to, everybody that competes would have to do a 1099, and you'd have to keep up with that way, because you know, maybe you won this event, but you didn't win any money there else, so you might be under the threshold. But you know, or if you try to keep it easy off of them, then you have to set up an LLC, which is money that's going to come out of your pocket. Because I don't feel like I could go to the guys in our groups and be like, hey, I gotta up everything $10 because I have to pay for all this now. Like, I don't know. It just, there was a big, we were at the shop, there were a bunch of guys talking about it. Other club guys already worried about it when they, because they pay attention to this stuff way more than I do. But with all these new tax plans coming out, and you know, small business owners and people paying for, like they were talking about, like this could affect like Uber Eats and stuff like that. Like these little bitty, who cares? Like I don't feel like it's a big deal for to pay somebody to deliver your food, but it's basically their way to dip their hands in everything that's making a little bit of money. And I worry like what that would do with the fishing, because 90% of us use Tourney X, and that's how it works. It's all through PayPal. PayPal is going to be reporting it all. You know, so I don't know.
Is it also one of those things where, you know how it says goods and services or family and friends on PayPal? Everybody just, you know, uses family and friends for this, but if it's a service that a tournament trail is putting on or whatever, like recently this happened to me. I got an Airbnb for a bunch of guys at the national championship. They sent me some PayPal money, and they didn't hit the friends and family, or they didn't see it or whatever. So I actually was owed a certain amount, and it was like, everybody's was like $10 less. So by the time 7 or 8 people are paying me all $10 less, I'm actually out 70, 80 bucks or whatever. If that's the case,
right.
You know, if they all didn't do it, just a couple of them did. But anyway, I'm wondering if it's to make sure
that
no longer you can get around that with friends and family. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and see, that was my first thought was, you know, we'll just, you know, stick with PayPal, flip it to friends and family. When you do that, you'd have to recalculate for, because the person getting paid, no, I'm trying to remember. Friends and family, the person sending the money pays the fee, right? I think, I can't remember.
No,
but you'd have to recalculate for that. And you also lose the protection. So when you do goods and services, PayPal has your back. So like if you signed up for my tournament and then like last minute, like if we had a shutoff and then you tried to like, you know, dispute that and try to get your money back, PayPal has got you on that. Or if there's false charges or anything like that. Like I've had it not doing this, but like selling things on PayPal, you always do it goods and services. The fee sucks, but it's got your back in case there's an issue.
Right.
So what you're, I don't
saying
know.
The guys don't trust me is what you're saying. The guys pay me for the house at Airbnb. They don't trust me.
Well, they were like, Drew's been winning so much. He's got these fees. 100 bucks ain't nothing for Drew.
Yeah. Jeez.
You need new friends.
They want to call me friends and family. I'm not friends with them or family. Come on,
that's messed
I'm
up.
Friend. I'm friend. You should hit the button. Friend. I went to the trouble to get this house for all of us. It's on the water. Come on. Anyway.
I didn't want to get us. I mean, and I know there's a lot of loose information there, but I just wanted to throw it out there and see if anybody had any thought on it, just because there, obviously there's just a lot of scare with it. I mean, at least in around our local level, we have a lot of local trails. They go through a lot of money a year, and this could, everybody loves how easy everything's gotten with Tourney X, and that could go right out the window if it turns around. Cause I mean, let's be real. Even if there is a way you can set it all up and still do it, do you really want to do it? Like when you could just be like, we'll just check phone photos at the weigh-ins like we used to do and pay cash, you know,
you know, who knows? Well, I'm sure Dwayne will have some info on it. Because it would affect his business. So maybe we should.
And that, yeah, for sure.
Dwayne on, talk to him about it when he.
That's what I'm going to keep looking into it. But, you know, I already knew it was coming just because of the me having my own business side of it. And then it got brought up in the, because we didn't know the amounts, you know. Obviously, like a business is going to clear tons of money. So, yeah, they're going to report that. Right. But, you know, on the fishing end, I was like, well, golly, I was really going to get down on the little guys. So.
Yeah.
Who knows? We won't ramble on too much longer. I've already talked about it too much. I wanted to bring my stress to you guys. I'm sorry.
All good, man. All good. We're here to take it every week. We're here to take it, man.
That's right.
But, Jim, congrats again, man. You know, I can't say enough good things about you. Every time I've seen you, talk to you in person, you know, always been a good ambassador for the sport. And just super happy to see, you know, good folks winning tournaments. So congrats. And I'll see you at the championship. At 2022, you're going to be at KBF National Championship too, I assume.
I don't think I'm going to fish it.
All right,
I'll qualify, miss you there. But I don't think I'm going to go. Yeah,
I'll take your spot. Well, I just want to go down to Caddo.
Well, we may have extra room in a house, so if you need it last minute, you want to come fish it, you just hit me up on Facebook or something. We'll get you squared away with the room.
All right, appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate it again. I know I got in touch with you last minute. Hope you have a fun break up there in Mizzou and then have a good trip back to Tennessee. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from you again.
Okay.
Oh. Awesome. Well, always fun to have the big winners on and cover some tournaments and all these other random topics we seem to get into. I think we did pretty good. Not too many rabbit holes. I know me and Drew are, me and you can go off on tangents, but not too bad.
Yeah, we can.
That's why I like doing this with you. Cause if we didn't like reel each other in from it, these could be very long shows.
They could. And I mean, it's good to talk this stuff through and air it out and flesh it out. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. I don't think change will ever happen if we don't dive into some of this stuff occasionally, because then it gets other people talking. It all gets around to the whole community, tournament directors, everybody that's involved, sponsors, manufacturers. And so I think it's good stuff for sure. So
whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why Midway USA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah, and just real quick, going back to what we were just talking about there at the end, you know, don't take anything I'm saying, because it's not set in stone fact. It's just bits and pieces of information we've been able to find. But just keep your head open, just in case, like, a little tax roll slides in on you that you don't see next year, and that, you know, end of your year, the IRS is sending you something like, hey, you owe us 30% of all that money that you took in, blah, blah. It's just something to think about. And again, I'm a business owner that you have to worry about that. That's how you go out of business. So, but yeah, who knows? Sure. But right. Moving into tournament coverage, like I said earlier, not too many. We had the Kayak Anglers of Central Pennsylvania 5th annual Kick Cancer's Ass charity event. It was a statewide event. 29 anglers, first place, Tony Hirdia with 91.5.
Oh, I was saying 91. I was guessing 91, dude. Right then, well, when you said that.
You were on at second place. Ryan Reardon was 91, so right there. And Tyler Rapp, third place, 88.5. Let's see, moving on from there, we had the Southeast Texas Kayak Bass League's Classic. Day one was on Athens, and day two was on Palestine.
94.
Athens is... Nope. Oh, well, let's see. Here, I'll break it down. So it's a two-day tournament, 37 anglers. First place, day one was 88.25, day two, 88.5, for a total 176.75. Second place, Andrew Middlebrook, big day one, 95.25. With a 75.25 second day. So, geez, 20-inch difference between 2 days. Still got the you know, second place there. And third place, Caleb Helbig, 89.5 day one, 73.75 day two, for 163.25. And there were some big fish there. It's Texas. There's always big fish there. There were two fish, 23 and up, caught in that tournament. So the big fish are still biting. Yeah, you were there.
94 is what I said. It was 95 was the one. So I'm going to try to guess some of these if I know the areas. This could be my new fun game. If I know that
here we
body
go.
Water, that part of the country.
All right. So West Virginia kayak anglers, two-day championship, Stonewall Jackson Lake and Santa Cola Lake. No, you familiar with either one of them?
No, kind of, but I'd do better if this was Rivers. I'm going to say one.
Two-day tournament. What's your two-day total?
165.
Ooh, way over. So 38 anglers, five fish limit. first place, Storm Carver. Two-day total, 146.5. Second place, Mark Edwards, 145.75. Third place, Travis Harper with 140.75. Mid and low 70s day one and below 70s on day two, except for second place. He had a 75.5-inch day, but still tough fishing.
I had confidence in those guys. I had confidence. How many anglers were in the tournament? How many total?
38.
That? Okay. 38 so anglers. I need to start taking that into account a little bit. You know what I mean?
You're
like knowing that it could be a little bit lower when it's in this time of year is tough. You're right. So plus there were lakes at, yeah.
All right. So moving on from there, kayak anglers of Western PA, the three lake throwdown, Shenango Reservoir, Canoe Lake, and Woodcock Lake. 40 anglers, five fish. What's your guess on this one for the winner?
Oh, I'm going to say 82.75.
Oh, he was close. First place, John Klein, 81.5.
That was close.
Second place, Rich Ferlini was 77.25. Third place, Buster Swisher was 75.25. The top three were the only anglers to catch a limit.
Wow.
So Tourney X had this information a little confusing. So the Indiana Kayak Anglers Crossroads Kayak Bass Team Classic was this weekend. I'm pretty sure they were five-man teams, and I guess they just kept up with most of that at the Crossroads event, because I know Paddle and Fin's very own Susie Roloff's team was the winning team, but all I've got here are two-day totals from the individuals, because it kept up with the individuals, but it didn't show team totals. And I actually think the first place individual anglers team was actually, I think, third. So shout out to the winners of that. Pretty decent fishing, high 70s and mid 80s. Jackson Orr, another big name we all know. He was third angler overall. Cole Kleffman was second highest overall. I wish I could get the real info on that, but it was not available. So I'm very sorry. And the last one that we had is a correction from last week.
Who was first?
Steve Glinka.
All right, Steve, just want to make sure we got his name in there, because I don't know if
yeah, I think I skipped it up. So sorry, buddy.
You're good.
But last one on the list was a correction from last week, where kind of goofed up the information. It was a 2-day tournament, and I only put the first day. So it was the New York KBF State Championship on Chattooga. First place was Bo Canzoneri with a 148.5 total for 2 days. Second place, Jose V. We're going to go with that. That looks like a French last name. I'm not even going to try. 147. Third place, Dale Van Horn with 146.75 for the 2 days. So sorry I messed that up last week, but there's your dues. Congrats to those guys. And that is it. Tournament season is winding down, and it's exciting.
This is true.
I love covering it, but my God, it's a lot of talking at the end.
It is. It's it, man. It's just the schedule. It's schedule season and the two championships at the end, and it's basically it. A couple charity tournaments happen always in, I think, November, December, and then you just start looking forward to Florida and Kissimmee or whatever, wherever KBF starts, and Hobie.
And I think
before you know it.
KBF's already got Kissimmee.
Yeah.
Up for next year.
They do.
Yeah, yep. I guess so. And I think they've had it from the beginning. So that's something to look forward to. I know the Dugout Bait and Tackle is doing their winter series. I can't remember all the rules of that. I can't remember if it was tri-state or if it's nationwide. I can't remember. Last year, I'm pretty sure it was tri-state, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. But if you're in the area or going to be down here for anything, make sure you check that out, because they stack out the giveaways each week on that. Just random giveaways each week. They usually, I think they would pick 25 winners each week last year. I mean, great chance at some stuff. Got the NC, KBF NC coming up, and then the TOC.
Yep. So that's right. There's a big tournament coming up that I want to give, I want to get more information about it. We'll talk about it more next week. And I think it was Travis Dawkins hit me up on Facebook about it. It's going to be, I believe it's somewhere in the Southeast. He's in Georgia. So they got a lot of money raised and prizes for a pretty big event. He's going to get some more info on it. I think that's who messaged me about it. But anyway, we'll get more info on that. It's actually the weekend of the KBFNC. So, Jim, if you don't make it to the national championship, buddy, you can go and fish that event. We'll get more information about it. It's a pretty big event. I think it's the 16th, October 16th weekend. So that's coming. More information about that probably coming next week. So
yeah, maybe we can maybe we can get the info and get them on, let them promote it.
Yeah, 5-10 minutes, have them on, just talk about it and see what's going on. So cool.
Well, all right, man. You got anything else?
I think I'm good, man. I think I'm good. Just just slowly getting ready for these national championships, and we'll see what happens. I'm pumped.
That's right. Well, we appreciate everybody as usual. We will be here same time next week, and hopefully another crazy show, something cool. But we'll see you then.
Good. Peace good out. Two more guys owe me for the Airbnb. Pay up, guys. Friends and family. Don't forget.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish.
This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.